Teaching and learning in a post-COVID world. Critical race theory. Howard Zinn. Truth. Band? Yeah. There's a whole lot of crazy going on in today's classrooms. Where do you go for sanity? Maybe not here, but Busted Pencils Radio is here to soothe your anxiety. Now back to Tim, Johnny, and Busted Pencils Radio.
We are back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Johnny and Tim, school resource officers. Zach from Colorado weighed in. Johnny and Zach both on the statistical side, talking about feelings. I do want to kind of move into this. So if school resource officers are there, then what do they contribute to? Because there's actually some pretty good research on that, and Johnny and Zach were hinting at it. But first, we've got Joanne from Madison on the line. Joanne, what's happening? Thoughts on school resource officers? What do you have to say?
Great show. I'm an educator.
Thank you.
So I've got skin in the game here. I'm looking forward to September and my own solutions to these issues. We don't have locks on our doors in my institution. We'd like to do, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, Joanne, the problem, you've already stated the problem. You have more than one door.
I'm
sorry. I had to take a swipe at Ted Cruz there.
Yeah, exactly. We've got a situation in which I think, with the building as it's arranged, that dogs might help. Now, I've got a background with dogs because I'm part of this group that has put dogs in the library for exam week. We try to calm students down by petting dogs. Students love dogs and all of that. But dogs also sense danger. They can be trained to sense, to smell gunpowder, and of course drugs too. I mean, that's another issue for the schools. But we've got a resource that I don't think has been tapped. You were talking about, and I'll relate it to SROs, because you wonder what these people can do. I think that an SRO with a friendly dog on, by his or her side, a dog that isn't racist, that everybody likes, because kids love pets. I mean, I haven't seen a young person who doesn't just feel for dogs and have a vibe for dogs. So, again, it's maybe a frivolous solution, but I think that we need to think outside the box to solve these issues.
Well, Joanne, I don't think you're thinking outside the box. You know, it's a novel idea, but it really fits into what actually the research really does show. And I think what you're talking about, this dog, really the social emotional aspects and how we help children. And as Johnny mentioned, you know, we did a podcast, a collaboration with Educators Amplified, two teachers in the Milwaukee area, and they really talked about the regulation and how we can regulate the social emotional. And if this could help, you know, even help possibly, you know, somebody who might be on the edge to come away from that edge, you know, who are the school shooters? So, you know, the idea, I don't think it's out of the box. You're really putting into that social emotional. The issue that I think we come face to face with is, though, I know you said school resource officer with the dog, but Joanne, sorry, we only have money for one or the other. And sorry, the dog didn't make the cut in the budget room, so we had to keep the school resource officer. That's how that pans out. You know, Johnny, what, you know, I like Joanne's approach. You know, it's talking to this.
I'm a big fan, because we've just been learning more about research on, like, reading dogs, right? And then just companion animals in schools. And you know, long time advocate for the fact that we need more diverse life, period, in our school settings, right? More plants, more, you know, more animals. And thinking about it, I agree with you. I think it feels outside of the box, but I think Joanne's saying, like, we can't just keep doing the same old stuff. And especially when we have one of the longest lasting multi-species relationships we have as a human, right? Like our non-human companionship goes all the way, 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 way back, you know, to canines. And so, you know, tap into that and think about, you know, building our school presence in diverse ways. And so Joanne, I love that you called. Thank you for being in education and for being a teacher, because, you know, that's the kind of voice and perspective that's going to push policymakers to take serious consideration. You know, and it's a shift, because they're not crime dogs. They're just dogs who have a particular set of skills, highly trained, like Joanne said, to sense danger, to, you know, smell things like gunpowder and things, and to notify folks who can take kind of that precaution in a preventative way.
Oh, thank you, Joanne. Yes, particularly Eric from Menominee Falls. Eric, you got some thoughts on school resource officers?
Yeah. First, I'd like to say the last caller, I hadn't thought of what she did. That seems like a pretty good idea to me. I think I like the idea of the school resource officer and coupling them with a canine. You know, you can't just let the dog run on its own. Having a resource officer with the canine, the students could then identify that resource officer not as a guy with a gun who's, you know, but it turns him into a human. And I've heard tons of stories about how the resource officers actually do work, because then the student isn't just hearing, you know, the all cops are bad stories. They're actually meeting a cop on a daily basis, seeing them in school, and recognizing them as a resource for the community. And then the child grows up not disliking cops, but instead they like cops. Mm. And you couple that with the dog thing, what's more is, I mean, just think about it, you know, if you were the bad guy, would you be more or less deterred to go into a school knowing that there could be some guy who's good at what he does beating you to the punch and you don't know any better? You know,
Eric, I like the idea that you support Joanne and the fact that you're waiting. That even prompted you to think about that. I'm going to push back, because this is the side of the show where, you know, I'm going to jump on where the evidence is. And again, you're making a common sense plea that sounds reasonable. I would ask you to think about this. How about, instead of a school resource officer and a dog, a trained social worker, mental health person who actually is working with the dog to help the school in those situations? Would that make you think a little bit differently about whether we need a cop or not?
Well, I don't think that's a bad idea either, except when if a bad event should happen, you're not going to be able to talk that guy down. They tried that a couple of years ago when they said, oh, we just won't have, you know, we'll have social workers respond to domestic violence. And that lasted like a day before they realized that, you know, the crazy drunk guy who's angry at his wife isn't going to stop being crazy drunk because somebody said, you know, try love instead of hate, you know, from outside the window, you know, with a megaphone. You know, sometimes you got to have that muscle. And, you know, I mean, yeah, you're right. They need to have that social worker there, but that could be like a thing where the social worker, you know, is there like every other day or half a day or something like that. And if the student can share their problems with them, but having them around 24/7, you know, you can't have 100 kids talking to one person.
Well, I mean, yeah, think about it, Eric. And Eric, we appreciate the call. Johnny, let you jump in here for a second and then see.
Yeah, no, I like how our callers are coming in and, you know, and bringing just, you know, an open and honest sort of take on something that absolutely needs to be solved. And I love the idea, you know, Eric brought up, is that he likes the idea of a very skilled and trained student resource officer with a dog. And I think that could be a combination of both. And I'm really kind of just being open-minded about things and thinking about my friends who work in restorative justice. I'm not a big fan of that, but I'm not a hater on it. And I think in places where they give me examples, they do have really strong cases where the training that the SRO has, the way the SRO integrates into the building, is almost as though they were like part of the staff, the community. You know, and oftentimes they're not even fully uniformed or even, you know, having a gun in some communities. And so I think that that's a really important thing. The other thing I just want to throw out there again is I don't think anything stops mass shootings than stopping the access and the easy access to the kind of weaponry that are part of the whole picture of them, the whole similarity throughout them. Because I think even if we had dogs and counselors and all the things, and Eric brought this up, once a person's that far in, they're not going to get talked down. I that's my take on it. And so again, I don't think there's a solution at the school for this. There's a solution in our culture for it, and a real concrete one in policy and limiting access to these kinds of weapons.
But think about what you just said there, John. I actually see that when you say a cultural issue, which I absolutely agree with too, and a policy, and I actually think those can be very separate, because we actually need a cultural shift to bring us to the ability to move into the policy. Because right now the culture is not even, and again, those who have the power, the loud minority, they somehow have the control of the culture. We got to take one more call before the break. Though we got Tom from LA. Tom, what's happening? We always appreciate your call, Tom.
First off, we the people are the government. Ultimately, we must never forget that. Second, the Republicans are the pro-death party. I hope everybody keeps on repeating that, because it's the truth. And the facts are there that they are the pro-death party. It's amazing to me that we love our guns more than we love our children. It's just sick. We actually love our guns more than we love our children. We shouldn't have to have police officers and this and that at the school. Schools should be a place where kids don't have to feel that pressure of who's going to walk into a door and shoot it up. Yeah. Come on, people. I mean, this is just absolutely mind-boggling to me that we're even talking about different ways that we can, solve the problem without really solving the problem, which is either get rid of the gun or get rid of the ammunition. Mm. This is just crazy stuff to me that when I went to school, I never thought about that. We had one kid that did a bomb scare one time in our school in Wisconsin. But that was the worst, and that was bad. But these kids have this extra stress every single day of, am I going to live or die? Plus, they have to learn.
Yeah, Tom, we're up on the break here. Really appreciate your call from L.A. You can hold on the line. Johnny, when we get back, though, let's hit this, kind of wrap this up and kind of bring this home, because Tom really hits an important point. Busted Pencils, more after the break.